What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by Drew Hill. Chris Harrington is off hiking through the prairies. Drew, I once had this conversation with GP. GP had never hiked, and I think Jeffrey and I have defined hiking as walking outdoors through the non-paved, you know, nature for no purpose other than, you know, than the walking itself. Have you gone on hikes?
Yeah. No, we're for sure growing up. We did lots of hikes.
Really?
We went to Jackson Hole one time. I remember that hike. We hiked up some gigantic mountain. I wish I could remember the name of the mountain. It is escaping me. It was like an 8-hour hike. It was like an all day thing, like where you packed your lunch and you climbed up the mountain. You got to the top and then you climbed back down. And then just early, like only a few years ago, I want to say about 3 or 4 years ago, I went to Gatlinburg with a couple of my closest friends, and we did another one of those hikes.
How is Gatlinburg? I've never been. How is Gatlinburg?
I mean, it's nice. I think maybe this is Pigeon Forge. Maybe Gatlinburg's a little too bougie. I don't know.
Bougie?
Or maybe I haven't been to Gatlinburg either.
Both of those places is kind of trinkety, but then you get into the mountains and they're beautiful.
Like, yeah. Gatlinburg is the higher end of camping, right? Pigeon Forge is where the peasants like me, that's where we go. Right. It was cool. And then it was just, it's just like a little mountainside town.
Do you like a hike?
We did a lot of that.
If someone suggested, hey, Drew, let's go on a hike. One of the problems with Memphis, the bigger problems, but the hiking here is terrible. I got to say, we don't have good, you can go to Shelby Forest and hike. That's okay. You can go to Arkansas and you got to go an hour or so. There's not a great hiking around here. So Chris is hiking with the prairie dogs, he said.
I know. The problem is it's flat and hot, right?
That's
flat and hot.
Yeah.
Absolutely everywhere. So you're not going to get any
vistas.
Like, to me, that is the number one thing. Like, listen, I like living here. I've lived here for several years. I've met my wife. I'm going to have a kid here. The one thing about Memphis that's hard for me to like get over is that it's so flat. Right, like everywhere you go, it just feels like you're just driving on
flat.
A flat.
There's no rolling hills.
It's a little too flat.
Say we're a little too flat. I would say there are bigger problems than that, but yes, too flat. Anyway, we appreciate you filling in. You were recently in Las Vegas, and I want to talk to you about some of the stories you did from there. When you're in Vegas, where do you stay, and do you gamble vast amounts of money late into the night?
No. So I stay at Resorts World in Vegas, which is where the team stays. And it's convenient, not because it's where the team stays, but because there's like a food court type deal at the bottom of the casino or whatever it's called. I guess it's a resort, the bottom of the resort. So I don't have to go out in the heat or do anything really to make an effort to get food that's reasonably priced in Las Vegas, which is a tough enough venture. And so I think that's part of the reason why I think the Grizzlies stay there is because they have practice courts there and they have a food court. But I stay there and I do not gamble late into the night. I mean, I might do it one time while I'm out there, but I'm the type that's going to go downtown and play the $7 blackjack tables versus staying on the strip where the big resorts are and you're playing $25 to $50 a hand. I did see a lot of NBA players out there. I did. I'm going to tattle. I'll tattle
please,
on the radio.
Please, please.
I heard from someone who is a Timberwolves involved media person. I won't say a name.
Yep.
Who said that they played poker with Tomas Isola.
Really?
Yes.
Well, did they report on what kind of poker player he is?
Apparently not a great one, because I don't know if he fully understood how to play, but, you know, he's gambling with the media people. He's not out there gambling all kinds of money. Well, to make the story slightly better, I knew Cam Spencer was a poker player because Cam is having next month a fundraising event for military veterans in Maryland, where he grew up, in which they're going to play golf and play poker after the golf. And that's how they're raising the money. And so I figured Cam was playing, although I don't play poker, don't really know how to play poker. So Cam, I said, you know, I know you've been playing poker. Did you know Coach plays poker? And he was like, Coach plays poker. And I was like, well, I don't know. This is the word on the street that he played poker with some Timberwolves media guy last night. And Cam said, I need to figure out what table Coach is at because I got to go take his money. I was like, wow, that's great. That's great. Cam Spencer wants to take his coach's money at the poker table. But no.
By the way, so on the top, I want to ask you some impressions of some people you did big features on out there. But on the topic of Cam Spencer, what do you think their biggest dreams are? Like Chris sort of says, good guy to have around. You know, he's an energy guy, whatever. But it's a pretty, and I don't want to speak for Chris or whatever, but seems to always have a pretty firm ceiling on it, you know, as a believer, but as Chris always talks about, his athletic limitations, we'll see. He's a very good, he's a good basketball player, but he has athletic limitations that ultimately, what do you think their biggest dreams are for Cam Spencer?
I think that they view Cam Spencer as a culture piece, right? That's like, I mean, the guy does have like this infectious sort of energy to him and attitude, but whether or not he's going to be an awesome basketball player, I mean, I think that there is some sort of limitation.
Not awesome, but that's
serviceable.
Culture piece almost makes him seem like a latter day Yuki. You know, like we have him around because he's, you know, he makes people feel good and
no, it's not makes people feel good, but maybe the opposite in terms of like is a little bit of a hard ass.
More a culture piece though than a basketball piece. And more a culture.
Would you consider somebody that projects to be the 12th man like a basketball piece or the 11th man? Like I view Cam Spencer, and if you just look at the type of deal he's on, as somebody that they probably hope can be along the lines of what he's not going to do the exact same things, but like fills minutes the way John Conchar can fill minutes. You know,
a much cheaper John, that'd be great. But I just wonder if they have any, you know what? Could be Sam Merrill kind of dreams here. You know, he's not 12th man on that team. You know what I mean? Like, is there an upside that they're allowing for or hoping for or is he mostly just, we have a culture piece. Guy works hard. No, you can throw him in minutes, you know, whatever.
There's definitely an upside that they're hoping for. I don't think that they would keep a guy on the roster to that extent. Like, you know, give him the extra year when they could. Like, they're not going to do all that if they think there's zero upside there. But I don't think that upside is like these high-end outcomes, as Zach Kleiman was mentioning. And the thing about, you know, the Grizzlies and you mentioned like Sam Merrill, they're trying to get away from that, Jeff. Like, they're not something that we have made clear. Like, they want all-around basketball players. They don't have interest in specialists. And, like, to me, that's part of the Jemai Meshack conversation, too, is, like, you know, you can say he's a defensive specialist. I don't think the Grizzlies have as much interest in specialists. Like, they might have more interest in a defensive specialist than a shooting specialist. But, like, I think they want Jemai Meshack to be an all-around basketball player. And if they don't see him as that, then, you know, that's his ticket to staying in the league.
You've written some really good pieces on Cedric Howard, on Meshack, on Isolo. So let me just go through those real quick. In terms of impressions of either on or off the court, but particularly off the court, impressions of Meshack.
He's very intense. He very clearly studies the game, like, and without just being one of those players that just says he does it. You know, what struck me the most was I asked him a really simple question about how he avoids screens, and he gave me like a 3.5-minute answer in which he threw in all this different basketball lingo and jargon that only players and people that are really in depth to the game and in tune to the game would understand. And like, that, to me, that was a dead giveaway of like, oh, okay, this guy, he's really knowledgeable about it and wants to show you that he's super knowledgeable about it. And so to me, it's just like his level of intensity that you can see on the court, but also that you just pick up from being around him does stand out, and it's not fake, you know, because sometimes it's fake and sometimes it's just words. But for him, it feels very real. So that's my first impression of him.
And on the court, pleasantly surprised by what you saw?
Yes, pleasantly surprised. I think the biggest thing was 22 assists and 11 turnovers, because the Grizzlies did a lot of asking folks to do stuff that they may not be the most comfortable with in summer league, and not everyone succeeded at it, you know, especially the ball handlers when Javon Small was out. But it felt like Meshack did a good job. Look, we're not going to use 12 three-pointers as an example for the fact to say he can shoot threes. Like, we're not going to do that. That's ridiculous. Right. He played 5 games, shot 12, made 5 of them, whatever. We're not going to, we can't just take that as a true sample and say he's a better shooter than we thought. We don't know. But the passing did feel like it was repeatable, predictable, and he felt in control. And, you know, in the league, you can weed out a lot of these players in summer league that aren't good enough to be on the court. And then I think if you perform really well, it can be overblown, but it's important to look like you belong, and he definitely looked like he belonged.
One of our listeners has pointed out to me that he played a bunch of on ball at the University of Tennessee when Zakai Ziegler was off the court. So it'll be interesting to see. Certainly intriguing. Okay. Yeah, obviously didn't see him play. He was out there at the end. What are your impressions of Cedric Howard as a human being, from what the time you've spent with him since he was drafted?
He really comes across as somebody that is like still that Division III basketball player, but is now like living the dream. And and that to me, that's like the number one thing that comes to mind for me. Another thing I wrote was like they handed them the jerseys at the introductory press conference, and he was shocked that the names were stitched on the back. Like, they weren't printed on, they were stitched on. And he was like, "Mom, the jerseys are stitched on." And like, to me, that just goes to show you, like, he's from really humble beginnings. Like, the little stuff still excites him, and like that energy is just really nice and refreshing to be around. And so, you know, and he like, he paints shoes and he bakes cookies, and like, he really is like this super normal guy that could have played Division III basketball and gone about the rest of his life. But then just happened to turn into this NBA player and is now like living it out and just excited at every little thing. And, you know, that's really fun. Like I said, it's really fun to be around.
Yeah. Sort of the update on Jalen Wells. Okay. So, you sat down with Tomas Isolo while you were out there and had and again, people can read all these pieces over at the Daily Memphian, but had a revealing conversation with him. What struck you about that?
With who? I'm sorry.
Isola. With Isola.
Sorry, you cut out there for a second. Yes. So with Tomas, I just wanted to spend some time getting to know who he is and like his background, because it felt like the last nine games or whatever in the playoffs was such a whirlwind that it was like, you know, we hear that he's an offensive coach and how he arrived, how he's got all these principles about and all this pick and roll and screen heavy and blah, blah, blah. But we don't have any, we had no idea how he got to any of this, like, and, or how he became a coach to begin with. And like, so I really wanted to spend some time to figure that out. And in doing so, he really opened up and talked about, I thought the most interesting thing he talked about was needing to essentially put his own preferences as a player that he thought about throughout his entire playing career aside, when coaching, and instead of doing what he felt like would make him the best coach for the individual players, because that's what he would have wanted, doing the things that would make him the best coach for the team, because that's what it takes to be successful. To the point where he could remember the exact day that he made that change and made that decision and decided that every decision moving forward from then on was going to be in the best interest of the team rather than what he would have wanted as a player. And so I felt that that was really interesting. And then just the stuff about him moving to the United States with his family. And it was the third country he had moved his family to in 3 years. So it was, it's been really chaotic for them and been a really big ask. And he talked about this and like, to some degree, I know it's not to the extent that they go through it, but I felt this too. He talked about, you know, the people at home being the real ones that sort of sacrifice in these situations versus you, because he's getting to live out the dream and he's getting to coach the basketball games and be there every night. And, you know, his wife is at home with the kids and the family, and his youngest doesn't know English yet. And
yeah, I was really fascinated by that portion of the piece, because I literally didn't know he had a wife and kids, you know, like a wife and three kids, and the youngest didn't know English when they came here. Like, that's a hell of an ask. And you know, for an assistant coach's job. So did he seem comfortable? He always seemed, honestly, he seemed comfortable at the end of last year when he was thrust into this impossible situation. He seemed pretty comfortable. I imagine he seemed reasonably comfortable out there.
Yeah. Yeah, he seemed pretty comfortable, you know, in terms of just coaching the team. I think he wanted this to be as much of a practice run as like a testing ground for what they could do, you know, like, yeah, he wants to play fast. And like, I think what they use in summer league is what they're going to use when they get to the regular season. And I don't think that it was in terms of the ball pressure, in terms of the quick subs and that sort of thing. Like I don't think that they're going to move away from that before the regular season starts. They might move away from it during the regular season, but this was just a practice run so that they could get a feel and he could get a feel for rotations and how he was going to, utilize his sub patterns and, you know, what the keys were going to be in order to sort of push the buttons of some of the young players on the team. And so he decided to do it. But he looked pretty comfortable out there for sure.
Okay. On just a few other matters, talking to Drew Hill from the Daily Memphian. Should I be disappointed that Jalen Wells wasn't dominant in the summer league?
No, I don't think so. I feel like I've made this point four places, including something I wrote this morning.
That's why I asked you about it. I'm asking you about the stuff that you read this morning, because I'm an avid reader, Drew. That's where I got this question from. Yeah.
Well, you know, this is like, I feel like, so I wrote that late last night after the game, and I could not, I don't know, I was struggling to get through it, but I feel like I can explain it better here, honestly. As I mentioned earlier, we talked about this 100 times on our podcast, me and Chris. Like, in summer league, if a player plays really well, it doesn't mean that they're going to be an awesome NBA player. But if a player doesn't look like they're ready to be on the court, like, or ready for the NBA, you find that out pretty quickly watching summer league. And so summer league also becomes a place for experimentation, right? Like, let's take this player and let them do more than they would do usually during the regular season, because this provides them a bigger opportunity. And like, that's what applies to Jalen Wells. So I would ask this, is like, how much better would Jalen Wells have needed to play in order for everybody to come away with a different take? Like, the guy averaged 18 points, right? In the summer league. He didn't do it efficiently. He shot 35% from three. Oh, but by the way, like, they used him every single time down the freaking floor, it felt like. His usage rate was like over 26%. It was like right at 15, maybe just under 15% during the regular season for the Grizzlies. So, like, he's taking a ton more shots. He's doing a ton more. He's still scoring. He's putting up 18 points per game. I don't think anyone's concerned. Well, you know what? I think people wanted more, though. Like, they wanted him to be this player that looked too good for summer league, that could get on the floor twice, and that they would just shut him down. And that's not what happened. So I don't think that there's any reason to be worried about him. And I don't think that people are worried about him. But I think he had a really good summer league. Like, I would probably push back on this idea of, like, he could have been even better. Do you remember in 2022, I think it was, Zaire Williams summer league, where everybody was freaking out, like, you know, and everybody thought that Zaire Williams was the Zaire Williams leap was coming. Well, Zaire Williams averaged fewer points than Jalen Wells did this summer league, and the response seems to be different. I guess the expectations are just totally separate there, but it's just interesting to see some of the reaction.
Javon Small did get into action. Grizzlies won one yesterday to wrap it up. Looked pretty good.
Yep, looked pretty good. Creating for himself, creating for others, like, that's the stuff that you wanted to see. Yeah, I think that he's looked plenty capable of, you know, having a two-way contract, and I think it turns out that sometimes players that do that in college that are good creators and just generally good basketball players that have physical tools that may not be as strong as others oftentimes turn out to be pretty good basketball players in the NBA. I think the Grizzlies have a long track record of drafting players just like that. And Javon Small is, no pun intended, small, but I mean, I think he's proven he can create and that he can put the ball in the basket. And what else do you want from a guy that's, you know, going to be behind your 2-point guards, but you want to have as a third option? You know, I think that's exactly what you need, right? Somebody's going to have to pick up the scoring and the passing, and looks like he's going to be able to do that.
And finally, Grizzlies signed PJ Hall to a two-way. Of course, we saw him play here for Clemson right at FedEx Forum. Was with Denver last year, Charlotte Summer League team this summer. Zion Pullen waived. PJ Hall signed. Why PJ Hall?
It's an interesting question. And this is actually something both Chris and I separately, like, I don't think without any, like, inside information on this, like, just speculated could happen.
Yeah, I listened to it. I heard you on the podcast speculating about it, actually. You brought up PJ Hall.
I heard it on Jason and John last week, too. It just felt like there weren't a ton of big options that were still eligible for two-way contracts that had decent rebounding numbers in summer league. And PJ Hall was, like, on the short list of those players. And honestly, the Grizzlies had the other ones. And it was very clear what they were trying to do when they, you know, added Will Magnay and Alex Reese to the roster. Like, they were adding older, you know, more experienced bigs that were going to be capable of playing in an NBA game should, I don't know, they need to use them in the rotation to begin the season because of the injury situation. So, like, this was the type of player they very obviously were trying to find. It just so happened that that player was not on their roster, and it was PJ Hall. There's not that much to go off of when you're trying to figure out if he's going to be, like, a capable player to fill minutes for this team early in the season, because he only played, I think, in 19 NBA games, but he never played more than 8 minutes in an NBA game last year. It's just part of the experience being stuck behind Jokic and then the Nuggets fighting for playoff positioning all the way to the last day of the regular season. So there was never really a chance for him to get in the game. The G League stats are really good, 19 points, 12 rebounds, but they're G League stats. You know, like, Cam Spencer has a 50-point game in G League, and Armando Bacot posted pretty dang near similar numbers to PJ Hall of the G League last year. So I just don't make much of the G League stats. I think the one thing that you could hold on to, and probably the reason why the Grizzlies ended up signing him, is he does seem like the safest bet from a rebounding perspective, just because of his physical build. And like, he's been an over 20% defensive rebound rate guy. So like, collects more than 20% of the opposing team's misses at every single level, whether that be G League, Summer League, or NBA, even in his limited minutes there. So I think from a rebounding perspective, he was as safe as it gets, and that's probably why the Grizzlies ended up doing this.
Drew, you're awfully nice to join us. Thank you very much. Read Drew's stuff at the Daily Memphian. Thanks, Drew.
Yep, thanks, guys. Yep. See you.
While we were talking to Drew, did get a text from John Martin. I would never hike. Don't invite me on a hike. So there you go. Words to the wise. Seems right. We got updates on the Sincere Parker stuff. When we will do that when we get back. We got more NFL news and other matters to discuss. Before that, I will tell you, if you are selling your home and you get besieged with those, oh, are you selling your home? Texts and calls and emails. Don't take any of those. Listen, they're just trying to lowball you, man. They're just trying to lowball you. If you do want to go that route, and there's some reasons to go that route, call Josh Heisa on the team at Keller Williams Realty, because they live here. Josh lives here. He's embedded in this community, understands this community, and he's not trying to screw you. Honestly, he wants to make sure that you get a full market value offer for your home. So there's other folks who are calling. They're going to give you whatever. They're going to lowball you. Josh is going to come out. He's going to look at your home and he's going to say, listen, this is what it's worth. I'll give you this much for your home. And that way you can avoid the constant showings, the open houses, the pouring money back in to fix it up, any of that. And plus, up to 4 months to move. It is Josh Heisa. It is the team at Keller Williams Realty. If you're interested, Josh makes home buying easy, saves you time and stress, and you can check him out at joshhasthebuyers.com. That's joshhasthebuyers.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkins Show on a Monday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
So I went to consult the menu, Jeffrey, at Ragin' Cajun. Because remember, I told you that when I went to Ragin' Cajun, which is the Cajun place in Bartlett, unbelievably good food, neighborhood atmosphere, I knew I got the crawfish queso and the sausage and cheese plate and a po' boy and the best bread pudding I'd ever had. But there was some other magnificent dish. I knew it involved the catfish. It's the Who Dat catfish, fried catfish filet topped with crawfish etouffee, served on a bed of rice. It was magnificent. It was a piece of magnificence. Anyway, here's the thing. Good week for a patio. I mean, you're going to have to stay cool. You're going to want a cool drink out there on the patio. But if you're looking for a neighborhood place with great food, it's not far, honestly. It took me about 7 minutes from East Memphis to get to Ragin' Cajun, 2740 Bartlett Road in Bartlett. Mason Jambon, who started, he was involved in the Bounty, the restaurant that I talked about for a long time. He's like, I'm from Louisiana. I want to create a place that reminds me of the places I'm home. And so that's what he did. The po' boys are served on Leidenheimer bread brought up from New Orleans. Just totally authentic, totally comfortable, and totally delicious. You can learn more by going to Cajun901.com. That's Cajun901.com. All right, we mentioned that Sincere Parker has been in court this morning, and have the update from Parthapadhyay. Basically said that he's going to fight this. His attorney, Arthur Horn, says he's going to fight this. He made his court appearance this morning. Bond was lowered to $75,000 from the original $120,000 since he is a first-time offender. And so here you go. From Horn, who is Arthur Horn, the lawyer, we plan on fighting this. More from Horn. This has been a long, ongoing saga between he and the ex-girlfriend. I just hope the public will give us time to sort through it so the whole story does come out, because there are two sides to this. And right now, it looks like my client, Mr. Parker, is a woman abuser, and that's not the case. Went on to say, from my understanding, they're going to let the case play out before they make a decision on his status with the team. So for right now, he's fine. And as long as everything works out favorably, he should be fine. So that is the update from there. Clearly, Jeffrey, if everything works out favorably, he should be fine.
Yes.
Yeah. The only question is, and listen, because the season hasn't started yet, the season isn't months away.
Right.
There is time for this to work out, right?
Absolutely.
To be resolved. The only question is, you could argue that he should be suspended in advance, right? Until this stuff is resolved. But there's no real practical impact to that now. If we were playing games tomorrow, I'll tell you this. If they were playing a game tomorrow, I would not approve of Sincere Parker playing in the game.
I agree.
But given that we have, because there have been charges filed, like whatever, let's resolve this and then, if he's cleared, then play him. But as long as there's criminal charges filed, I don't think you want, the lawyer can say what he wants, I don't think you want someone representing the University of Memphis, and I said the same thing when it was Jeremy Hunt, with this kind of charge pending, playing wearing a Memphis jersey. He's been alleged to have beaten up his girlfriend, ex-girlfriend, whatever. Clearly you don't want him to go to jail before he's been convicted of something, but it is not a right to play Memphis basketball. But the good thing is because this has happened so many months in advance, Hopefully it will emerge that he is innocent of these charges and it can be resolved. And so he can play in games without this hanging over his head. And so I don't know. Any further thoughts on this, Jeffrey?
No, he is going to be released this afternoon, according to Arthur Horn. I mean, to me, it's like the good thing is it doesn't have to be sorted out before tomorrow.
There's no practical impact to whether he would be suspended or not suspended. He's going to be practicing with the team. He's going to be whatever on scholarship. He's going to be, and hopefully this stuff will be resolved favorably. And we will discover that, yes, that there was nothing to this. So who knows? Okay.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
We have other matters, Jeffrey, that we have not tackled yet this morning, including, and I don't know if this is breaking news, but we have the news that Jake Ratzlaff,
yes,
is headed to where?
He is indeed headed to Tulane.
Now, Jake Ratzlaff, as you will recall, quarterback for BYU last year.
Correct.
How good was he?
He was pretty solid. I mean, they were 11-2. His numbers were pretty good. He's a dual threat guy. But like this would be an example of he was accused
of rape in a civil lawsuit.
Correct.
He was accused in a civil lawsuit of sexual assault.
Yep.
And his response was, no. This was consensual. And you would think that would be fine. If he were playing for Alabama, he would play.
Yep.
Right? Civil lawsuit can charge. There's no evidentiary threshold. Anyone can file a civil lawsuit accusing anyone of anything. And so so he says, no, this was consensual. The problem was consensual sex is not
because he admitted it on the record.
When you're at on the record saying as a student at BYU that he had consensual sex. And when you're a student at BYU, you are not allowed to have consensual sex.
Violates the honor code.
It's against the honor code, and I think it's a 7-game suspension.
It would have been a 7-game suspension.
Yeah. So so only because he was a student at BYU did this become a problem, and all of a sudden it became a pretty big problem. My defense is something that once I lodge my defense, it's going to disqualify me from playing at BYU. He didn't say I didn't have sex with her. He said it was consensual sex. And so he therefore had to transfer from BYU, found a landing spot, and what do you know? In New Orleans, where consensual sex is
absolutely
applauded, is abundant, right? Town built on consensual sex, I think, or booze or food or like all the good stuff.
Drunk sex, yeah.
And so is he going to be the starting quarterback for Tulane in the American?
Speaking of complicated quarterback rooms, this is – I'm reading from – Pete Thamel's story over at ESPN.com. He'll enter a quarterback situation at Tulane that's layered in ambiguity after the arrest and subsequent transfer of talented TJ Finley last spring. Tulane then took Iowa transfer Brendan Sullivan in April after Finley's issues, and also has Ball State transfer Caden Samanza and Illinois transfer Donovan Leary.
Oh my God!
Of the four players competing for Tulane's starting job, none was enrolled prior to January.
So an Iowa transfer,
an Illinois transfer, and a Ball State transfer, and I believe Ball State's Indiana. So they really got like that corner
of the
Midwest.
Were they all starting at their various spots last year?
Sullivan was starting, but they were going to bring in the South Dakota State transfer.
Right, yep.
Donovan was not starting because Luke Altmaier was starting.
Right.
And Samanza did start for Ball State.
Any of them any good?
I mean,
Presumably not that good if they're bringing in.
I think you only bring in Retzlaff if.
He's going to be the starter. He was the one who started and was good.
Correct. Even though he's, as part of the recruitment, sources said Tulane staff made it clear there were no guarantees for him to start and that he'd need to earn the job.
Oh. That's how they do it in the American, American way.
Absolutely.
Sore, baby. Sore.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so we had that bit of news.
I mean, I think this is fair to say Tulane got better today.
Oh, Tulane got better today. And you didn't need Tulane getting better. No, you did not need Tulane getting better. And so that's not necessarily good news for the University of Memphis. Jonah Dillon has tweeted out that, speaking of the American, that they, like the Big 12,
correct,
not going to have a media poll.
No preseason media poll. I mean, the justification for it is that...
Who the hell knows?
Well, and the belief that it hurts the teams that could be good because no one had preseason expectations. I don't buy it, but yeah, whatever.
Silly. Just silly, silly, silly. Okay. The WNBA All-Star Game was held over this past weekend. Well, even less competitive than the Open, I gather. And but the women showed up wearing shirts that said "Pay us what you owe us." Now, I don't pretend to know the finances of the WNBA. I am wary of anyone who has hot takes on this topic.
Yeah,
because I think it's incredibly complicated. Now, listen, if you look at what the WNBA is lately becoming, the crowds that they draw, and the TV contract that they are getting, it's pretty clear that the women are woefully underpaid relative to what they're now becoming, right? What the league is now becoming.
Yeah, and I mean, I think it's...
When you look at what Caitlin Clark makes and what Caitlin Clark... Again, she makes a vast amount of money from endorsements.
Right.
But what she...
I think the problem is we are saying potential earnings
I get that. Yes, 100%. Relative to the complication is, of course, is that for decades now, the WNBA has lost money, is said to be losing money even this year, $40 million this year. And so what do you do with that, right? Now, the additional complication is that lots of startups lose money early on.
It's trying to grow.
Lots and lots of money early on. They lose lots and lots of money early on because they try to grow. And all those people working for free? No, some of those people are working in stock options or whatever else and whatnot. But they're not. They're working and they're compensated. Stock options would be a perfect example. If you're at a tech company and you're getting a piece of the future, right?
Yep.
Well, these women don't have a piece of the future. They're not paid in stock options. And so, and by the way, the value now of these franchises has increased stratospherically. It is now, these franchises are worth real money. And so, sure, the league has, quote-unquote, lost money. But now, is that still true if you say, well, we bought our franchise for whatever, $35 million, and it's now worth $350 million? Did I still lose money? I think I just am very wary. What's interesting is this is one labor dispute where it feels like everybody in the world is on the side of the women because it's ridiculous. You look at what Caitlin Clark makes and what, you know, what Marcus Smart makes or made with it. I believe
the salary cap per team is $1.5 million.
It's appalling, right? And you see massive crowds. You see how much it's covered. And it now that seems out of kilter. And so it is one labor dispute where it 100% feels like the world is siding with the women here. And I think that's kind of appropriate. The women very clearly should make more. The problem is, how do you parse it out when, just take that phrase, pay us what you owe us. Well, that implies that there was money that they should have been paid all along. And no, the truth of the matter is, for the longest time, the league propped up the women. The women were paid more than they were, quote-unquote, right, owed, if you measure it on how much is this worth as an ongoing business. Are you owed money when we're losing money every year? Should we really be losing even more money by paying you more? We're trying to build this thing up. But now it's very clearly it is becoming a success. The women, and let's be honest, the early players here are never going to get a piece of this. The people, the women who've been a part of this for the last decades as they tried to build it up, they're never going to get a good a slice of this. And so it's just very hard to measure. How do you figure the franchise valuations in all of this in terms of compensating the women? How do you figure future TV contracts and future revenues as opposed to present and past revenues? And so sorting it out seems to me to be incredibly complicated. I do feel like, well, if there is a work stoppage, it would be a blow.
I definitely agree with you on that. It seems to me what makes it super complicated is that the potential earnings and theoretical value of the league is one number, which is like dramatically higher than what cash they have on hand.
Yeah. So how do you, if you're working at a tech company,
right,
you're going to get a stock option for this, right?
Right.
Well, Caitlin Clark isn't getting stock options in the Fever. You know?
Like, can you have a stake in the television deal? Like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like a future television deal?
Now John's threatening to come in wearing a pay me what you owe me shirt. Mm. And I think that's fair when it comes to Odyssey, mm-hmm, don't you think?
I would say good luck with that.
hey, Odyssey,
mm-hmm,
pay us what you owe us. Pay us what you owe us. All right. And we do have camps, Jeffrey, opening this week. NFL camps opening this week. The Hard Knocks team is going to be descending on St. John Fisher College in Rochester, New York, where the Bills will be opening. But you do have, among the things to watch this week, you got Micah Parsons and the Cowboys.
I still think Micah is going to,
You think he's going to report? No.
I think it's going to be the Dak Prescott thing. I think we're going to wake up. He's going to report. He's going to be at camp. And then we're going to find out, like, week one at 10:30 a.m. that he signed a new deal that was the highest paid defensive player of all time.
Also, the NFL. This was kind of a bad look. Lloyd Howell?
Yeah.
Lloyd Howell was head of the NFLPA, the NFL Players Association. And there was all kinds of stories about how he wasn't doing a good job he was party to perhaps hiding an arbitrator's report from the players,
who's right.
whatever. But then on top of it, Friday, we learned that he also was expensing trips to strip clubs.
Yeah.
How Multiple. About that? Pay us what you owe us.
Multiple. And the
multiple trips
and
to
the
strip
car
clubs.
Ride from the airport to the strip club.
$745 yes. or yes. something like that?
Uh-huh.
He paid. It was just unbelievable. He resigned. And then the person who was expected to be the interim, J.C. Treader, also resigned.
I'm going to bet he was on one of those trips.
So there's you think he was on this?
I'm going to bet he was on one of those trips.
By the way, Pirates drew 38,000 for a game against the White Sox over the weekend. Do you know why?
Was it a protesting the owner?
No. So the biggest crowd of the year, they've had three big crowds. One was opening night, day, whatever, against the Yankees. Second was the Paul Skeens bobblehead.
Mm-hmm.
This was the Mac Miller bobblehead.
Ah.
Rapper. Died in 2018 from Pittsburgh. You can find him on eBay for about $200.
There you
Lines
go.
Began at 8 a.m. For the Mac Miller bobblehead. What is coming up next on 92.9?
Jeff, here's what's coming next on Jason and John. Jeff is going to join them today. Jason Munns will join us today on Jeffrey Wright and Company, as, of course, will Norton Heard the Fourth. Cobb will be with Gabe at 5 o'clock.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Thanks for Drew Hill for jumping in. We will be back tomorrow. For now, our work is done.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable 6-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and 4 blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.